You're listening to a live call-in with mayoral candidates Matt Hunter, Mary Magnuson, and Ben Maiasato. One of the three people sitting here will be Sitka's new mayor. We'd love to hear from you, 747-5877. We're going to go now to some of our questions that have been posted on our Facebook page and also email. This is from Jane. Where do you stand on the marijuana tax? Do you think the rate is fair? Would you be willing to raise the tax on alcohol in the summer like we raise other taxes to help the city? And she brings up a point about raising taxes on alcohol. We also have a similar question from Margie about whether we should raise, put additional taxes on the retail sale of marijuana in Sitka. I hope it's fair to kind of squash these, mash these two together. Matt Hunter, you're up.
Thank you. First, the alcohol tax issue. We are forbidden by state statute from raising alcohol taxes as a city. Other cities have higher taxes on alcohol, but they were grandfathered in before the alcohol lobby convinced the legislature to forbid cities from doing that. So that's an option if the legislature acts to repeal that ban. We have advocated for that in our most recent legislative priorities. As to marijuana and taxing marijuana, I hope that everyone's grand predictions of great revenue come forward and actually come to pass because we can use some money in town. However, if we overtax the commercial sale of marijuana, then that will just stifle our legal business and keep people in the black market. We have a vibrant black market in Sitka, so I'm told, and I'd like to see it move into the legal realm and have those taxes come to support our city and the services that everyone enjoys.
Thank you, Matt Hunter. Margie sent along some data that might be useful to at least ponder. She says the current Washington State excise tax is 37% with up to 9.9% additional city sales tax. Colorado has a 27.9% state tax with an additional average of 6% city sales tax. I'm just throwing those out for reference. And Margie says that the original Marijuana Advisory Committee recommended an additional 2% tax on marijuana sales.
May I briefly speak to that? And then
sure.
Pass on? So I remember reading after Prohibition when alcohol was illegal and the gangs and the black market just went crazy. When they legalized alcohol, they had very low tax on it initially because that made it cheap enough that the black market died. As the black market went away, taxes have crept up considerably every year since then, and now we have high alcohol taxes and there's no other option. That is why you can't tax it too much to start, and frankly, I want to treat it as we treat alcohol. I think people have voted to legalize it, so let's respect the voters' wishes and ask that they not drive when they're high, and just like we ask them not to drive drunk.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Matt. Mary Magnuson.
I agree with Matt. One of the most important things is we need to respect the voters. Sitka voted huge in favor of legalizing marijuana and treating it like alcohol. Alaska has some of the highest sin taxes in the country. Alcohol is already heavily taxed here. And drink prices, people come from down below and they say, oh, do you have a happy hour for $3.50? No, we don't, because it's not possible. It's not even legal to have happy hour. But we're already paying exorbitant taxes on liquor, and it's important that those taxes get collected. But there shouldn't be any additional above and beyond liquor tax on marijuana. We voted to treat marijuana as alcohol. So I would not agree to having a higher tax. I believe that the sales are going to be much larger than predicted by Mr. Sweeney. I believe that the revenues are going to roll in, provided we don't choke the business out. And it's legal. Let's take advantage of it. Colorado can't figure out what to do with all their money. They've talked about refunding some of it to their residents. So it's crazy for us not to look at this as a revenue source, particularly in this community that voted 70% in favor.
So, Mary, you're saying stick with the regular sales tax on marijuana And also there'll be licensing fees, which the assembly just the other night decided to dedicate to high school activities, licensing fees of $7,000 to $10,000 a year.
And there's a state excise tax as well, some of which will be remitted to municipalities.
So is that when you're talking about the money rolling in, is that what you're talking about, Mary?
I'm talking about our sales tax, which is 6% part of the year. I don't think we can keep demanding of tourists that they pay more and more and more. It just isn't fair. People spend a lot of money to come here. They spend a lot of money when they're here. There's going to be sales for edibles and all kinds of things that tourists are going to take advantage of. And we already have our hand out to them. We don't need to go further. I think we need to just treat marijuana just like alcohol, and which is what we voted for as a state.
All right. Thank you, Mary Magnuson. Ben Maiasato, should we tax marijuana over and above what we tax over and above the regular sales tax in Sitka?
That's a very good question, Robert. And this is one of those where, quite honestly, I was one of the 30% that voted no for legalization. And that's sort of kind of my own viewpoint on that, was that I thought it shouldn't have been legalized, but it is. Now that you're talking about the idea of licensing and taxes, if it's going to create more revenue for Sitka, that's one of those where it's a revenue source now. So how much more? That is a very good question. I think that personally, if we're trying to make this work, make it in such manner that it, like as Matt said, it doesn't go back down to the black market. So if it's like a 1%, 2% above, I think that would be good.
All right. Thanks, Ben Maiasato. The number to call is 747-5877 if you have a question for our candidates, or you can post a question online at the Raven Radio Facebook page or send an email question. We have an email question from Lauren. And I think this refers to the city audit and a number that's been sort of been kicking around town recently. The question for you, starting with you, Mary Magnuson, is what is your opinion of having approximately $55 million in city and borough reserves, and what do you believe is an appropriate amount? Has this number crossed your path at all?
The $55 million has not crossed my path. If it had, I would have already been talking about the fact that if this is our rainy day fund, it's pouring right now.
Yeah, it's not strictly rainy day fund. We checked on this with Jay Sweeney, our city finance director, and as a business person, you might appreciate this. This is the city's basic liquidity. It's the balance of all funds. It's appropriations not yet spent, that kind of cash. He's not in town right now, and he's not able to comment on just how much would be available. But what do you think is the appropriate amount to have, just to manage city cash flow?
Well, I don't believe that we need to have more than a year or two. I believe that trying to save, so if we have 10 years of bad times, that's not the way to go. And I wish I had more information about this. Because we, as far as having savings accounts, as a business owner, if I want new furniture, but I look at my savings account and realize that I'm going to deplete it completely by buying it, I'm of course not going to. I'm going to wait until I have more. But you have to settle on what a figure is. And I'm not educated enough to be able to say what that figure is going to be. But it certainly doesn't need to be $55 million when we're looking at a $2.5 million shortfall next year, and we're being asked to raise property taxes as we are being reassessed without addressing the fact that the reassessment is going to make more money. And if we need to liquidate a little more, then that's what we need to do. It's just like all of us. We need to buy something. We need to tap our savings account for it.
Thank you, Mary Magnuson. Ben Maiasato, This is an email question from Lauren. What is your opinion of having approximately $55 million in the city and borough reserve account, and what do you believe is an appropriate amount? And again, we double-checked that figure, and it is the equity in the central treasury, according to the last audit. It's the balance of all funds in Sitka, and it's appropriations that have not yet been spent. I mean, some of this money may be obligated, but there is a $55 million figure on paper in the city and borough's audit.
That's one of those, it might look good on paper, but that's not the true case of where the city finances are. I know that when you talk about this so-called rainy day fund, I know our sinking fund is at around the neighborhood of around $20 million. That number is the number, when you look at trying to use that for other funds, it is going to require approval for even spending that. But the $55 million, you know, that, even if it's all in the account, there's places where that money is already earmarked for.
All right. Thanks, Ben Maiasato. Matt Hunter, the $55 million.
Well, it sounds like there's some misunderstanding or some sort of miscommunication here about $55 million being available. Think about having your personal checking account. Maybe you have $2,000 in your checking account. You just wrote your rent check or your mortgage check for $1,000 or $1,500. You have $2,000 available in your account, liquidity, but you've appropriated $1.5 million. Much of the city's budget is in the general fund. It's already been spent by the assembly, and our general fund budget's around $25, $26 million, something like that. And that is part of this liquidity. Also, we have $2 million in emergency funds that we keep for emergencies. We spent a lot of that in our landslide event. We said, okay, we've saved this money for a rainy day, and this is literally a rainy day. This is now going to be spent to clean up the landslide. The state said they'd reimburse us for that. That hasn't happened yet, but that's why we keep that money. We also have, I believe, 6 months of operations currently set aside. I think our charter or code requires us to have 3 or 4 months of operations. So if you take $24 million, I know we're above that, or $28 million, and divide that by four to get 3 months, that would be $7 million of that liquidity as well. We do have general fund money that is available for spending. It's, I think, about $6 million or so that's not encumbered. And that is money that we can spend once. And once we spend it, it's gone. So I am hesitant to spend it on operations unless if it bridges a gap to get us to a sustainable place. And what I see with our electric fund in particular, like it or not, we're in this position, and I'm not going to waste time laying blame at anyone's feet for this. I think long term the dam will be a wonderful thing for the community, but short term it's quite painful, and we need to support our electric fund. And that means taking money out of other funds, and we're going to be looking at making cuts to do that, and also perhaps taking some money out of these balances, as mentioned by Lauren. We do have some money that we can spend once, and if we can get to a point in the short term where we have new revenue coming in or we've cut something drastic at the city to cover it, then that would be a wise move once 1 or 2 years, but we can't do it every year. And we need to keep our permanent fund intact. That is our retirement fund as a city. That's supposed to pay us into the future. And if we spend it, then we're spending our future.
All right. Thanks, Matt Hunter. The number to call is 747-5877 if you have a call for if you have a question for our candidates for mayor. They're Matt Hunter, Mary Magnuson, and Ben Maiasato. One of these three individuals will be your next mayor in Sitka. I'm going back to email questions. This is from Taku Judy. And Ben, you're up to bat here. Do you favor a 200 or 500 foot buffer zone for marijuana shops? I, for one, don't want to have this in the downtown corridor. And just to let her know, Taku Judy, your question about an additional tax on marijuana, the candidates answered in the last round. But your 200 or 500 foot buffer zone for marijuana shops is on the table. Now, what do you think about that, Ben Maiasano?
I'm in support of a 500 foot buffer zone.
All right, thanks, Ben. Matt Hunter, do you favor a 200 or 500 foot buffer zone for marijuana shops?
Currently, I favor not breaking federal law, which calls for a 500 foot buffer around schools and I believe churches as well. I could be mistaken on churches. Ultimately, I wish to treat marijuana just as we treat alcohol, in that if we can have, where we can have bars, we can have marijuana dispensary locations. I don't want to smell pot if people are smoking pot on the premises. I don't know how all that would work out. I don't believe that that's something that we currently allow as a city. But when it comes to businesses selling marijuana products, if it becomes an option to reduce that, we can have those community discussions. But I don't see this as being something that needs to be treated differently than alcohol.
All right. Thanks, Matt Hunter. Mary Magnuson.
And I agree with Matt. The vote was to treat marijuana like alcohol, which so far hasn't happened at a state level or a local level. That's pretty specific wording. And I would like to see, of course, we're going to have to follow whatever the state sets down, which at this time is 500 feet. I honestly don't think having a pot shop is any different than having a bar. And if you can't walk past a bar to go to church on your because the pull is so strong, then the pull isn't that strong at your church. People are on their way there. They're not going to be swayed by anything when they're on a mission to go someplace. And we voted for it to be treated like alcohol. And we need to follow all the current regulations, but we don't need additional regulations, in my personal opinion. I think the town is obviously very friendly to marijuana with a 70% vote.
Thanks, Mary Magnuson. We have another question from email. You can email a question to news@kcaw.org. You can post one on our forum thread at Raven Radio's Facebook page, or you can call us at 747-5877. This is from Hugh, Matt, and you're first here. Since it is very likely that additional municipal budget cuts will be required in the coming year, what process would you use to prioritize city services, in order to allocate available funds? So I think Hugh is asking, how are you going to prioritize city services if the city is forced to make cuts?
Thank you for the question, Hugh. This is going to be the single greatest task of our next assembly because we are going to make cuts. There's no other option here. Even if the ballot initiative passes, we need to make some cuts. I would like to prioritize our public safety and our schools first. We need to make sure that our police have the resources they need to keep us safe and our fire department to keep us safe. If we can't educate our kids, what are we doing? We need to make sure that our schools are adequately funded and that students are able to be successful to breed a new generation of Sitkins. Beyond that, the process that I would pursue as mayor, and I would encourage my opponents to do should they be elected, is to hold visioning sessions as an assembly where we meet and we talk about all the options and all the services, and we do that prioritization. We could meet on a Saturday. We could meet a multitude of small meetings where we talk about options. We hear from people, kind of like a town hall, a little more focused at some sort of end product. And we need to do it as an assembly. Some of this was done by the Citizen Task Force analyzing our budget and trying to come up with recommendations, and they made some good recommendations, one of which is this mill rate increase that we're asking for and subsidizing the electric fund. So community involvement and visioning sessions and ultimately tough decisions to make some cuts.
Okay, thanks, Matt Hunter. Mary Magnuson.
Well, I think the first thing that we would need to examine is what are municipal responsibilities. There's schools, there's roads, there's public safety. And then parse out things that we do because we had the means and that are not necessarily a municipal responsibility. And that's where we start with elimination. And we try to, you know, take everybody's feelings into account. But in the end, everybody's not going to be happy. If you can only go to the building department on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you can only pay your electric bill from noon to 4, 5 days a week. It's not going to make people happy, but it'll make our economy sustainable. And those are just examples. They're not necessarily what I would propose. But that type of change is what's going to need to happen, because we just don't have the funds anymore. And we have a wonderful recreational infrastructure. Time to turn this to the business at hand.
All right. Thanks, Mary Magnuson. Ben Maiasato, how would you prioritize city services in order to allocate funds in a cutting scenario?
Thank you. Thank you, Robert, and thank you, Hugh, for your question. This is something that has been asked of me regarding, we know that you're going to have to make cuts. We need to keep our police and our fire and our schools properly funded so that public safety is not jeopardized, or that the education for our kids here in this community are in any way, shape, or form degraded. This is one of those where the questions that we have to answer as public officials is that we need to be able to include the public. I like the idea, and to say that to the other candidates, Matt, that does take some looking into the eyes of the others and say, yes, if one of you are elected, you need to be in that mindset that we will need to include the public. And this is one of those that we do have to have a budget that is ready by June 30th, if my understanding is right. And this is one of those where, if you do not, the previous year's budget is by ordinance is what is going to be. We know that's not going to happen this next year, because we will need to make cuts. But this here, the process, it needs to start well before the readings that need to be necessary to pass the budget. I do believe it's three readings. And this is one where if whoever is elected mayor, they need to say to the public, we are going to start this process now. Because as if you look at the Citizens Tax Task Force, and that is a mouthful, they had over 25 hours of public input and meetings just for the ideas of raising revenue and what the cuts. It's going to take a lot of meetings to come up with the answer, and this, it sounds to me as if the public wants even more input as to how we make our cuts, how we raise our revenue. And that is good, because, you know, they talk about this transparency. Part of that transparency is also participation. Those go hand in hand. We want people's input regarding whatever the end product will be for the next fiscal year 18 budget.
All right. Thanks, Ben Maiasato, and thanks, Hugh, for your question. And thanks to Gene and Spike, who sent an equivalent question in about reducing the cost of city government. The number to call is 747-5877. You're listening to a live candidate forum with Sitka's candidates for mayor, Matt Hunter, Mary Magnuson, and Ben Maiasato. You can email questions to news@kcaw.org or post a question online on our Facebook page. And this question has come in online, or email rather, and it's directed at Ben and Matt. However, Mary, you can chime in too. In fact, you're technically your first up on this, so you can tee it up for these guys. This is Erin has written, and she'd like to know why in 2014, when deciding how the nonprofit grant money should be dispersed, you did not allocate anything for fish enhancement? And perhaps more broadly, do you support fisheries enhancement? And we went back and checked on that vote in 2014, and what the writer says is true. Mary, we'll let these guys ponder that for a moment while you take a swing at this.
Okay, well, I certainly wasn't involved in the vote because I wasn't there. I don't know that the city has a business in fish enhancement. I know as a longtime troller that A portion of every landing we ever made went into fisheries enhancement. There's quite a bit of money rolling around for that. And I don't know that the city can afford to be in the fisheries enhancement business. They can make the climate friendly for the fishermen, and then fishermen have voluntarily given their donation to enhancement. If the climate was friendly, moorage rates are reasonable, services are reasonable, they could be asked to vote for another percent. Never know. It never hurts to ask.
All right. Thanks, Mary Magnuson. Ben Maiasato, you're being called out for a 2014 decision not to distribute any nonprofit funding to either ALFA, Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, or Alaska Sustainable Fisheries Trust.
ALFA, and what was the other one?
Alaska Sustainable Fisheries Trust.
This is one of those where that's a very good question. I know that we have the fish box tax that gets directed towards fishing enhancement. There are not very many dollars for nonprofit, and I'm just using my memory from my 3 years on assembly on this process. It has gone down every year. I think when you look at that, we do collect a fish box tax, and this is one of those where not giving to these two on the nonprofit side, there was not a whole lot of nonprofit money to go around in the first place, and we do have a designated fish box tax that was already coming in for this purpose. And I think that was the reason why voted not for it.
All right. Thanks, Ben Maiasato. Matt Hunter, 2014 vote on the distribution of nonprofit funding.
Thank you. I think I remember this one. And obviously fisheries is what's built this town and what keeps this town going. As Ben mentioned, we do have the fish box tax, and we've been giving anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000 a year of that to Sitka Sound Science Center, and this year to Sitka Sound Science Center and a Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association effort to get young people out fishing and to support new deckhands, basically, to get them on boats. That is, those are both very well-spent money, and I do support those. This specific year, I remember a proposal that while fisheries enhancement is a wonderful thing to spend money on, one of the things that I look for every time I spend city money on nonprofits is a leverage of funds for outside grants to come in. If you give money to YAS, you get millions back in return. If you give money to the other entities that get it, Sitka Sounds or Sitka Fine Arts Camp, Sitka Trailworks, each of these results in thousands or millions of dollars coming back to town. And I remember there not being much to impress me about that application when it came to matching grants. We need to get a lot from every dollar we spend. So,
all right. Thanks, Matt Hunter. You're listening to a live call-in forum with candidates for mayor here in Sitka, Matt Hunter, Mary Magnuson, and Ben Maiasato. I'm down to my last couple of questions that have come in via email. And this one is, how can we raise the working wage as everything else goes up and not the working wage? That's a question from Valerie. How do we raise the working wage in Sitka? Ben, you're up to bat.
I am up to bat. Thank you, Robert, and thank you, Valerie, for your question. This is a question that was posed to us at the Chamber of Commerce on Wednesday, and specifically they were asking whether or not we would support raising the minimum wage to $15. And my answer, and I'll give that same answer that I gave at the Chamber of Commerce, that I don't think it is city's business to tell business how much they should be paying their workers. I know it's something that we had been mentioned by one of the other candidates here, that we can possibly do that, but you know, from my own, just from my own perspective, I earlier this year sponsored no electronic device or handheld device when you're driving, and that I got a lot of from the public. You're getting into our daily life. You're legislating our personal life, and this is one of those where if we are to be getting into the business of telling business how much they should pay their workers, I'm very sure we'll get a lot of a flack at the assembly level telling them that we want you to raise your minimum wage.
All right. Thanks, Ben Maiasato. Matt Hunter, how do we raise the working wage in Sitka as everything else goes up?
Well, I'm also at this point not in favor of any minimum wage legislation coming from the assembly. What we can do is do our best to make sure that students in Sitka schools get a good education and are prepared to work good jobs that have good wages. We can try to make Sitka more affordable as well, and part of that will be through additional affordable housing options. I'd love to see tiny homes popping up around town in some of our lots. Just make the best possible use of our land. We don't have a lot of flat land, and we need to use every bit of it. Our entire city, I feel like, had our hearts set on the bench lands, and there's a lot of potential there too, but we're still waiting to see the safety of some of those lots. So we need to make sure that we keep the jobs we have in town, in our healthcare, fishing, and other industries, tourism, and try to encourage people to hire local as well. I heard from some people at the Sitka Chamber about how some of the businesses don't hire local, and if there's any way we can encourage people to hire local, I'd like to do that if I can.
Yeah, 30% of Sitka's workforce is non-resident, according to the Scheinberg statistics that came out at the Sitka Comprehensive Plan meeting. Thanks, Matt Hunter. Mary Magnuson, wages must be something you wrestle with on a daily basis at your business. How do we raise the working wage in Sitka?
Well, number one is a friendly business climate. It's allowing businesses to thrive partially by leaving them alone and letting them do their work. A business that thrives can pay their employees more. I personally think the minimum wage is too low. I also think the city has no business meddling in it. I've not ever paid a single person minimum wage at my business, and I never will. I think it's a shame that people work two or three jobs. I know people that work three jobs so that they can afford rent on a one-bedroom apartment without having to have a roommate. So by keeping utility rates low, by not overtaxing businesses, and I don't believe we are overtaxing businesses at this point, but if we start assessing property astronomically, it comes right down to whether I have money to give my employees raises or do I have to pay this out in municipal taxes and utility rates, which are very high for a building my size. And if I wasn't paying $3,000 a month for that, I would be well past my $4 over minimum wage where people start.
We're coming down to our last few minutes of tonight's Mayoral Candidate Forum here. It's been live on Raven Radio with Matt Hunter, Mary Magnuson, and Ben Maiasato. We've gotten through our email questions. I had one or two of my own, if you all will indulge me, because we've at Raven Radio, the news department, we follow politics from literally the moment you guys file. I mean, it's seconds from the moment you hand your papers in till you probably get a call from a local reporter. And as we've watched the debates and also the proposition argument, pro and con, develop, people have mentioned a lot that they don't like the regressive nature of increasing sales taxes. They don't like the regressive nature of vehicle taxes or axle taxes or fuel taxes. And the property tax has been highlighted as the least regressive of all these possibilities. But there are still some people who argue that the effects of a property tax increase will trickle down to lower income Sitkins in the form of higher rents. So I'm wondering, what do you feel about an income tax? I mean, it is the ultimate non-regressive tax. Should we be considering that in Sitka as a revenue measure? Mary Magnuson.
Short answer, no. I don't believe that that is the way to go. I think we still have not brought ourselves back to a town of 8,900 or let's say even a service level of a town of 15,000. We still haven't done that. And I don't believe putting more taxes on people should happen until that happens, until we butt out of people's lives and just let commerce perform as commerce will. And I believe that we're being extremely short-sighted in not looking at the possible revenues from marijuana.
Thanks, Mary. Ben Maiasato, should we have an income tax in Sitka if we're going to tax anything?
No. And this is something that I don't agree with. There's talk of that discussion at the state level about instituting an income tax. If you tax at the local level and the tax at the state level and you tax at the federal level, that's less money in people's pockets. But I'm going to give a comment about what you had said before you asked the question, Robert. You are right about the candidates, and this is something I don't mind saying on air. Less than, I would say, about 90 seconds after I filed, I came over here and told one of your reporters I filed for the mayoral election.
That's how, yeah. Good on you. Thank you.
Less than, I know it was less than 2 minutes.
I could say that I got a telephone call while I was still in City Hall chatting with someone before I even got out of the building after I filed.
Well, that's because we have binoculars and we can see you going in and out. Matt Hunter, your thoughts on an income tax? If we must pass any kind of tax revenue, what about an income tax?
I'm open to all ideas and suggestions. If that's what the people want, then if we voted on it and it passed overwhelmingly like the marijuana issue did, then I would I'd entertain it. But that's something that takes a public vote. That's not something the Assembly can do, thankfully. I mean, that'd be a big thing to do, and that requires a vote of the public. So if people want to bring an initiative forward, have at it. We'll see how it does. But any tax is regressive, honestly. If we can get by somehow selling water, whatever else, and resulting in the funding for the city, that would be ideal.
Okay. So. Here's a question. I think it was prompted either by your chamber discussion or I might have been listening to your interview tape, Mary, but what about selling some Sitka asset? What about selling our electric utility or the hospital? It's kind of late in the game for an extended discussion of this, but has that crossed your radar at all, Ben, in just 30 seconds or so?
In 30 seconds, that has not crossed my radar, but that is something that could be a public discussion, and this is one of those where we do need to have public discussions regarding any kind of raising of revenue, whether it be through tax or selling, like what you said, the hospital or something to that effect. I think the public needs to weigh in on this.
Yeah, we just did some reporting this week about a hospital board work session where a consultant really had concerns about the hospital's viability in as soon as 3 years. And so that's on my mind. And I think I've heard other people talking about privatizing Sitka's electric utility as it is done in Juneau. Matt, do you have any thoughts on that?
We would be remiss not to consider all options. If there's some proposal out there, I'd like to see it, but I don't see how a private enterprise that's driven to make money is going to be able to save us much money as consumers in this town. Our electric department has been working to find efficiencies. I'm sure there's more efficiencies that can be found. I don't know that there's going to be a way that they can keep rates low and make money as a private enterprise. As to the hospitals, I'm excited to see that there's talk of collaboration. We have two CAT scans in town. We've got two DEXA scanners, two labs, two ERs, two ORs, two OB units, and neither one of them, one place, has quite enough business to justify any of those things. If we combine them, we'll have better services and save money, and hopefully the city won't have to support our community hospital anymore. It'll be another savings for us, and people won't have to travel to get the care that they need because we'll have specialists here instead of staffing redundancy.
Mary, you're going to get the last word tonight. 30 seconds on whether we should sell off any of these kinds of assets, the utility or the hospital.
I would be in favor of looking at privatizing things that the city is losing money on, and it would have to be done very carefully. The contracts would have to put a limit on raise in prices, but private enterprise is going to try to do things as cheaply as possible, and thereby hopefully keeping rates down.
All right. Thanks very much, Mary Magnuson. I want to thank the mayoral candidates, Mary Magnuson, Ben Maiasato, and Matt Hunter, for coming in tonight, and also everyone who called or sent in a question. Obviously, Sitkins are interested in this race, and they're interested in what's going to be, life is going to be like in Sitka beginning October 5th, the day after the election. I want to thank KCAW's Emily Kwong and our postgraduate news fellow, Emily Russell, for working behind the scenes in tonight's forum. You can listen to this forum again and listen to our school board and assembly candidate forums and our Prop 1 forum online at kcaw.org. Both of those were hosted by KCAW's Emily Kwong. Coming up next on Raven Radio at 8 p.m., we'll have news headlines from the BBC, followed by Night Jazz with Martina. Thanks for joining us. I'm Robert Woolsey, news director. Don't forget to vote on Tuesday, October 4th.